We are an imperfect couple, keeping it real, loving Jesus, loving each other, laughing our way through life, and figuring it out together. Hoping our stories can encourage and uplift others in their marriage to thrive and succeed, knowing they're not alone.
And I'm Alexandra. We are the Bozos.
Why did you just say it right away?
Say which one? I don't know. I feel like we're pausing, but it's
fine. Hesitated.
I did hesitate.
We just need to go for it. Just do it.
Anyways, welcome back to another episode of Real Love, Real Stories. This is our third episode.
Third, number three.
Well, yeah, we're hoping. We may move around this order. It's fine. This is gonna be the third episode. We're talking about my favorite topic here. One of my favorite topics. Very passionate about this topic. Is boundaries, and we're going to specifically go into boundaries within like dating with the intention of marriage and share parts of our story, what we did to help set us up for success, because boundaries are really important, not just in the dating field, but when you get married as well. But we want to kind of grasp into the boundaries within dating first. So,
yeah, sounds good to me.
So, we're going to kind of dive into a couple of different topics and we want to give some practical things too that we highly suggest that would be really beneficial for you in order to either ask yourself or have when you start dating someone, or if you are dating somebody, or even if you've been dating that person for a while, it's never too late to engrave certain boundaries that will set you up for success. So when Franco and I first started dating, well, I was 25, right? I was about to be 25.
And you were, I can't remember.
Yeah, you're not good with
I'm great with numbers. But remembering dates is hard
yes.
for me.
So we ended up starting a date, and I never dated anybody before you. I had no clue.
You did date one person. You said you went on a date, well, at least.
Yeah, that was on Christian Mingle. So embarrassing. No shade to people who have found their soulmates through Christian Mingle, but my experience, the whole date, I was just praying to the Lord that this was not my future husband. Like, yeah. No joke.
And look, it wasn't. I was your
Thank you,
husband.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't because oof. Duh.
You don't know how it would have turned out. Maybe that was the guy for you, and you just didn't know. God was just putting different opportunities in front of you.
When you have a conversation with somebody and they ask you a question, and then no, I think it was that I was asking him a question, and he would share. And then he would just stop and stare when he was done.
Yeah, waiting for your response.
Response to what? He just shared his like testimony or something. And he'd be like, oh, that's awesome. And then he wouldn't ask me any questions. He'd just stare at me. It wasn't this flow.
Yeah, so first of all, your first boundary should be not going on Christian Mingle. Unless you found your spouse on Christian Mingle, and good for you. And two, your second boundary to yourself should be go to church and get invested into the community and then find people in church.
Yeah.
Really, boundaries are already popping off.
Boundaries are already... I'm still so embarrassed by it. It's so bad. Anyways, so when we first started dating, I didn't date anybody. Like, I wasn't in a relationship with anybody before you. That's the right lingo.
Yeah.
Went on dates, but not in a dating relationship that was serious. So for me going in, I was seeing a lot of my friends start dating or end up getting married. And I was just seeing different things that they were doing that were really good versus what I thought, oh, I don't think I want to do that within my dating relationship, because I saw the struggles that ended up happening when they crossed those certain boundaries. So when Franco and I first dated, we talked for a while, for about a month before you officially asked me out, right?
Yeah.
You were fasting.
I was fasting at the time.
So yeah. You were not wanting to take me out on a real date. But
I could. I would just be drinking juice and you would be eating whatever your meal was.
Still would have been fine. For me.
Sure. For you it would have been.
For me. But then when we were dating, or when he first asked me to be his girlfriend, I think that was one of our first conversations. You held my hand and I was already freaking out because I never really held a guy's hand. And I remember saying, like, we need to talk about our boundaries. And I knew that if we didn't talk about it, that we would start to go. And, you know, when you're dating somebody, the physical starts to go, the emotional starts to go. So it's setting yourself up for success where you know where that line is not going to be crossed. Yes. So when we ended up dating, I just said, oh, we need to talk about this. You're like, okay, well, what are your boundaries? And I said, I don't want to kiss you until... I think I said until I know if we're going to get married.
Yep, that's exactly what you said.
Yeah, that is what I said. And that put a damper on your mood.
A little bit, but
fine. I think for me, I just knew that I waited for 25 years before I kissed anybody. So for me, I didn't want to just waste it. I wanted it to be this beautiful story of, like, my first kiss will be my husband. If I waited 25 years for that.
Yeah, shoot. True. You stayed committed.
I was wanting to be committed. And I didn't know I wanted to marry you right away.
And I got to experience your very first kiss with a man. It was like kissing a piece of cardboard.
That's another story. Our first kiss was so bad. It was absolutely horrible.
If you want to try it out, just go to a wall and kiss it.
Oh my God. It's not that bad. That's horrible.
Why is that horrible?
It's not like a cardboard. Whatever. Well,
we're getting practice for... Yeah. The first 6 months of our marriage.
Oh my gosh. You're diving in a little too deep right now. Okay. Shh. All right. Quiet. So, yeah. So we ended up setting certain boundaries because Franco had a past of his dating relationships, right? I didn't. So for me, I kind of started off with this clean slate of, I don't know all of what I can cross because I haven't crossed those boundaries yet. Whereas Franco had a different experience in his dating relationships. So for him, he had specific physical boundaries that probably weren't that big of a deal for me because I didn't know. But for you, you had that history and you go, okay, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
Like at all. And so that definitely set us up for success. So I think that is one of those key takeaways, that if you're coming into a relationship and starting a dating relationship, it's really important to share about those physical boundaries. I know it can seem really awkward. Like, it was definitely awkward, I think, when we first started talking about it, because we just started being romantic, and then all of a sudden, okay, we're going to talk about our physical boundaries. But I feel like that helps set us up for success because you both are going to have different paths, whether that be one dated many different people versus, you know, you had pretty negative relationships or the physical boundaries were just never there. Mm-hmm. Because obviously as believers, we believe that sexual intimacy is within marriage. So if you're walking this out, then, you know, some of those physical boundaries could be crossed before in a dating relationship. And we knew that we had those different paths. And so we wanted to make sure we were coming to the present and being able to walk forward in the best way within our relationship and how to honor each other within that.
Yes, I think that leads in good to like what the boundaries we created while we were dating. The time and curfew was a big one. We did not want to set ourselves up. Nothing good happens after 10. And now that I'm almost 30 or middle 30s, nothing good happens after 9. So.
Except the bed, going to bed at 9 o'clock. That's what good happens.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But when we were dating, we set ourselves up for success there and we had a curfew. I can't remember if it was 10:30 or what was our curfew? I don't even remember.
I think it was 10 or 10:30, and you did really well at that. Like you were like, "Oh, 10:29," and then you would walk out the door.
Yeah, I waited till the very last minute till I could leave.
You did.
Yeah.
And within that time and curfew, one of the best things you could have are roommates that are somewhat holding you accountable, because if you're at your house and you have like 3 other roommates that are just bouncing in and out, not much is going to happen.
Yeah, that helps. But
yeah,
and like some scripture to back that up. And what this is a scripture that will continually haunt me every day of my life, but because it has so many use cases for it, specifically for time and curfew. But in Hebrews 12, it says, for the moment, all discipline seems pleasant. No, that's not how the verse goes. Hold on a second. Now I got to look it up because
we got it.
The notes are wrong here. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Essentially, what that's saying is that when you do things that are disciplined, they're not fun. So having a time constraint on when you can hang out with your dating spouse is not fun. Mm-mm. But if you can stay disciplined in that and then you eventually get married, then the peace and the righteousness you get afterwards feels really good, and that you continue to develop that relationship with your spouse. So
yeah,
so discipline in all facets of life too, right? Working out, going to bed on time, getting 8 hours of sleep. Discipline is also setting up a curfew for when you're dating, setting up a curfew or how much time you spend, or the discipline on where you spend that time and how long you're spending at time there,
right?
Is kind of a big deal. As well as no overnight stays, or if you are gonna, if you have to be overnight with your dating, that there's separate rooms that you can be on. Even if you're going on a family vacation, that you book a separate room for yourself.
Yeah.
Even though it'll be more expensive, but you are setting yourself up for success to not cross those boundaries that you've already made.
Yeah, I think it can be exciting to go on, you know, a trip with your. With the person that you're dating, but at the same time, you have to be really careful on those times. Like, I think when we were dating, we had like a red eye flight. I think we left at midnight, which is past our curfew time. But at the same time, we were going directly into the car of his dad and staying at his parents' house and staying in separate rooms. So we already kind of knew, okay, we're past our curfew at this point, but we're in a public setting. We're on a plane ride. We're at the airport. We're walking outside, getting into a car with another person. We're not taking an Uber. We're not going to a hotel. We're staying directly with your family, and your family already knew, okay, we're separating them because they knew that we were walking it out like this. I don't know if you had a separate conversation with them at that, or if they just kind of knew, because they're believers too. I'm just like, we're not putting you in the same room. So
I don't know how we came to that.
Yeah, I think that is something that's so important, And, you know, I've known other couples that there's been two couples and they've gone on a trip, like our friends when they were dating. And, but the girls stay together and the guys stay together. And so they had accountability partners within each other of being like, well, you're not going to go in the guy's room alone. The guy's not going to come in here alone. We're going to be all together, or we're going to go to a public setting to have a date or be with each other. And that sets you up for success.
That's really good. And then the other one is physical touch. What's your physical touch boundaries? And Alexander kind of touched on that a little bit, but, you know, kissing, mostly kissing is fine in dating. It was just something that Alexandria had specific, wouldn't be a boundary that I would set, but I lived
with it. Most people don't. Most people, when I say I didn't kiss you until we got engaged, they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, is that bizarre?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. That's not a normal thing.
But like, why? I guess in my head, this is what I think about when I think about kissing. The more that you kiss, the more intimacy that you have with that person, right? And kissing leads to other things and leads to touching and leads to ultimately getting into the bed. So for me, I didn't want to kiss you automatically when we first started dating. That would have been a long dating experience.
What do you mean?
Like, before we got engaged, I mean, we had a short engagement, but what if we were dating for like 2 years before we got married and we were trying to stay pure? I feel like it would have been harder in that season.
Yeah.
I would love to chat with people who have dated for 2 years and they kiss right off the bat. Like, was that hard?
Yeah, was that a boundary they sent? That could be a good question to add to our repertoire.
French.
I don't know what it is. But having good physical boundaries is always good. What are you wearing around your significant other?
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
And if you're...
That was not in our notes.
Honoring your spouse, or not spouse, excuse me, significant other, and what you're wearing even to...
What do you mean? Expand on that. What do you mean, what are you wearing? Like, modest is hottest, ladies.
Modest
is hottest.
Modest is good. It just, it helps the man not think beyond what's actually going on.
That's
just a man thing, but maybe not all men, but for me, I guess, for sure, I feel that way about it. So
why would I want? Oh, I love that. Thank you for saying that.
Even in dating relationships, is sweats the best thing? Maybe sometimes, but not if you're doing a movie night in the dark. Maybe that's not the best option, but that's up to you. But yeah, physical boundaries, you know, cuddling, how far do you let your cuddling go? Laying down on a couch versus sitting, which was one of our boundaries when we were dating, was we never laid down anywhere.
And I think we always had the lights on.
I don't think lights
were ever really off.
Even if
a movie, we had at least one little light on or something so that if one of the roommates would go by, they could see what was going on.
Yeah.
You know?
These are pretty strict, but I think they're pretty, pretty important to any dating relationship or any relationship in general that wants to end in a strong marriage to start out with. Because if you don't and you start off on the wrong foot and you still get married, it's much more difficult to overcome those things while married.
Right.
So it's... Yeah, it's just smart to keep those boundaries so that when you get married, you're starting off on the right foot and you're not working through that boundary challenge that you had before you got married when you get married, because there's a lot of other challenges that you come against when you first get married in the first year. Just like learning each other, how we react to certain situations. Not that we had a hard first year or...
Right.
I mean, we don't even really... argue that often now. We get in passive aggressive fights sometimes, but there's just things that different couples go through. The other boundary too, I guess this is the ultimate boundary, is making sure that Jesus is first in each person's life, that the man is serving the Lord so that when he gets married, he can treat his wife and his family, that Christ, you know,
right,
loved the church. And that's very important that you set yourself up for that.
Yeah. And I think with that, it goes with fear of the Lord, right? Because if you're thinking about boundaries, and our flesh wants to do what it wants, right? And our flesh can take over. We can make excuses. We can tell ourselves what we want to hear to make our decision seem okay in the moment, where our feelings are valid, which feelings are not always valid. They're not always factual. And when you look at having the fear of the Lord, which is really that sense of awe and submission to the Lord, you care more about what he thinks versus what you want, what you think. And if you are submitted to him as your authority, as the Lord in your life, and being able to say, I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to honor you, I want to honor this person, I want to honor my body, that you wouldn't even want to look at that other person and defile or press their boundaries to make them dishonor the Lord, or for you to dishonor the Lord. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says that in Proverbs 1:7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And fear of the Lord is also grabbing that wisdom and its instruction from the Lord. And I think it's just so important. And I think when we dated and we would have those boundaries, and we have boundaries in our marriage now, which we'll go into a different time, but I knew that you had fear of the Lord because you never tried to press those boundaries. Like, there were multiple times that I thought you would kiss me, but you asked and you said, are you ready? And I said, no. And you honored that. You were like, okay. I knew you did not like it, but I knew in that moment that you, in those moments, there were multiple times that you honored the Lord because you didn't want to press those boundaries, because you saw me as the Lord's first. And I truly feel like that is the best way that you could have pursued me in that season. Because I was like, he cares much more about what God thinks, and he's honoring me by asking, and he's not getting upset because he knows that this is something that's important to me and something that I prayed about and something that I sought the Lord on. And I just have seen a lot of couples that will be on one side and they love Jesus and they wholeheartedly will be active within the church, and they talk about the Lord all the time. They post about, you know, reading their Bible. They post about their quiet times. They post about things of the Lord, and they struggle with the sexual immorality. And it is so crazy to me, because it's something that's just so easily done if you don't set yourself up for success with boundaries. Yeah. And I mean, like in this verse in 1 Corinthians 6:18-20, it says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And I just love that verse. It's so meaty. There's so much to unpack there. But ultimately, it's saying like sexual immorality is sinning against your own body, because you were made in the image of God and you were used. You need to use your body to glorify him. And so you see all in the Bible of the different sexual immorality stuff that's going on. And then it, unpacking this world right now, like I could go on about that sex is just whatever, instead of it being this beautiful thing that God has given us. And we just make excuses. I think ultimately people just make an excuse. Yeah. They're like, oh, it felt right in the moment. Yeah. Like, oh, well, we love each other. Or like, well, we're engaged. We're going to get married. Doesn't matter. Like, in the context of marriage, you're not fully committed with just a ring on your finger. things can happen. Happens all the time.
Yeah. It kind of leads into like what a man's role is in boundaries. And the man is the one that has to be the strong and the disciplined one, in my opinion. The man has to be the one that disregards himself to serve his partner, whoever they're dating. I don't like using partner because they're married also. Partner. Anyways, that we won't go down that path. But the man is basically responsible to be holding up the boundaries to the highest regard. Jesus talks about that all the time. And then in Ephesians, you know, he's calling, not Jesus, Jesus, no. Who wrote Ephesians? Paul? It was Paul.
Yeah.
Anyways, but, you know, he's, the man is supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And that also goes for dating relationships also. And Christ would not defile the church to move forward with their spouse. He would honor that spouse until they got to the point where that relationship is honoring for honoring for each other. So the man's role is to be the most disciplined, the most on guard, the most prayerful. Not that the woman shouldn't be praying also for the relationship, but he will be he's the guardian of the relationship and the holder of all the, this is the way I think about it.
Yeah. I know, I like that, because what you're saying is that the man, a true man, is going to honor and show honor to the person they're dating. And it segues into, I've said this to different single ladies before. I've said, how are you going to date this person? If you are going to date this person, how are you going to date them so that if this person doesn't end up being your husband, your spouse in the future, would you have honored them in a way that if they were to date somebody else, that they wouldn't have this baggage in their next relationship? Yeah. That they wouldn't have this dishonor about themselves walking into their next relationship. And so, you know, a lot of times in Christianity, in church, that it's like, as soon as you start dating somebody, oh, you're going to get married. You're like, this is it, you know, and instead of it being, let them figure it out, let them walk through this and see if they are going to get married, but let's not put that pressure on people when they start dating, because it just sets themselves up for unrealistic expectation. And I don't want, like, marriage is a huge deal. Like, marriage is a huge commitment, and you shouldn't go into that lightly. And so it's really important to know when you're dating somebody to take that time to really get to know them and know if they're going to lead you well. Like, this is for women. Is that man going to lead you well spiritually? Is he going to lead you well physically? Does he have, you know, is he going to provide for you financially? Like, is he going to, you know, honor you and uplift you and pray for you, like you said, and really die to himself, like Jesus did for the church? And so it's so important for women and men when they're dating to be able to honor each other well, so that, yeah, like, you're doing this, you honor each other well in your dating relationship, so that in your marriage, you'll still honor each other. Like, because it doesn't stop just in marriage. Like, oh, we honored each other really well and we walked this out really well. Like, we're not going to have boundaries or things that we're going to go through in marriage, because it keeps going. It just means that now these physical aspects that maybe you had on guard look a little bit different within marriage. Yeah, I always try to tell people who are dating, like, do it well enough that that next person who dates that person, you set them up for success, because that's somebody else's spouse if you don't end up getting married. Yeah.
True. I think one that we don't have written down here either, but is values and holding true to whatever your values are as a man and a woman. Mm. If your values don't align with another person, don't waste your time dating them.
Are you talking values within if they believe in the Lord or values whatever, in like family?
Their values are conservative values, liberal values, yeah. Christian values, Muslim values, Jewish values, things like that. Things that are important to you that you want in a spouse. And if they don't have those characteristics, then are you wasting your time? Although it feels good in the moment. And that dopamine of being happy and being with somebody who makes you connect with, you know, gives you that joy. Well, that's going to be temporary. Or if you carry that into your marriage, let's say you get married, but you guys aren't aligned on some values, that's going to be a touch point in your marriage.
Could you give me like an example of that? Like what? So
one person's a Christian, one person's not.
Okay. Yeah. That's extreme. Yeah. I'm talking, what if you're both Christian and there's certain values, like what value could be a contention point for that couple?
I don't know. Kids.
Okay. Like one money, wants kids.
Yeah.
One doesn't.
Yeah. Sure.
Type thing.
Sure.
Or like I want this fancy schmancy lifestyle and the other person's like, I just want
modest. I mean, that kind of stuff is compromising. That's not necessarily a value, but if you're, let's say you're both Christians, but the man doesn't want kids, does, then you guys are, it's not gonna work out really. It could, and there could be a change of heart,
but a lot of times it doesn't.
But you're just adding another string to the marriage, like that's going to start pulling you back, and that you have to eventually, one of you is going to have to settle on the other side.
Right. Well, it's like a Christian dating a non-Christian. It could change. Most of the time, it doesn't. You don't flirt and date to convert.
So that's what I'm saying. So making sure that your guys' values align, how you guys want to pursue each other is a big one. Physical boundaries. Any values that you have, Christian, non-Christian, how you want to pursue that, and just being really careful and knowing what you want in a man. Not necessarily you want a man that makes $500,000 a year plus, or you're not going to date them, but I'm talking some basic values that you want as a Christian
woman,
a Christian man. Do you want kids? Want to go to church every Sunday? How often do you want to serve? And having those questions answered early will be really important.
Right.
That kind of leads into having mentors also when you're dating. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples. He discipled, you know, the 12 disciples. And one of them ended up putting on him.
Your face. Jesus had 12 disciples. He discipled the 12 disciples.
Yeah. He did. So mentoring, you know, Jesus was mentoring his disciples to walk out in faith, to pursue him, what it looks like to live a godly lifestyle. And then also in Proverbs 27, it says, "This iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." So even with marriage, having another married couple to walk you through, even though we didn't really do a ton of premarital counseling, we did like 2 sessions. But it's still helpful to be able to have another couple that's walking with you.
Yeah.
To help point
out
things.
Who's a season ahead of you.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Who's a season ahead of you? Who's already been married, you know, and could be 1 year, could be 6 months, could be 10 years. You know, the longer they've been married, typically they have a lot better advice to give, but that's not really an option to you. It's fine. But finding a couple that's been married and has walked through a few things that they wish they would have known, it would be really helpful. So,
yeah. Well, I think it goes to show that it's really important to have godly counsel, and that's within any context. It doesn't have to just be dating, but we're talking about having that counsel in your dating and having that accountability for that. Because if you're just discussing your boundaries, like we're talking deep into physical right now, but if we're talking into the physical boundaries and just us two, who's holding us accountable other than each other to actually walk that out well, other than the Lord, right? Like, but if we're we're just setting ourselves up for more success if we allow another couple in and share where those struggles are, share where we are within our physical boundaries or physical desires or struggles, et cetera. And I think when we started dating, we had that, and that we would meet separately, right? So that you're not sharing certain things to the opposite gender that's not the person you're dating, and sharing it with, you know, girl, girl, guy, guy, and sharing those things, because, you know, some of those struggles with you might be different than what I was struggling with. And having those people kind of call us out or ask like intentional questions that you have to answer, right? Because if someone's going to answer or ask you, like, we've been making out too much in the back of the car, are you going to lie? Are you going to be like, yeah, most of the time you're going to tell the truth about it, you know, especially if you've allowed them in your life in that season. And not just friends. I think it's really important too, that it shouldn't just be like a friend, like somebody that you're best friends with that you know is married. I think it's really important to seek out from the Lord, because it might be somebody who you're not expecting to walk in that season with you. And I think it's really important to get wisdom on who needs to walk that out with you, because sometimes as friends, we can just be a little bit more, you know, lenient on things instead of being really direct and saying, no, what you're doing is like crossing your boundary.
Yeah.
It's like, just, remember what you said about this is that you didn't want to cross, you just crossed it, you know, and calling you up and calling you out. And I think when we had a mentorship, we weren't like best friends with them. We were friends, but I think it brought us closer because we allowed them into that season with us. And they had such a good way of confronting us in a way that we were like it felt like from the Lord. I mean, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Your friends will be biased towards you, so they'll always see it your way first instead of the other.
Yeah.
Which is not healthy.
Most of them. Not all, but mostly. Majority of the time.
Majority of the time, I would say so.
Yes.
Hopefully this has been helpful. We've covered a lot. It's pretty meaty. But yeah. Some of these things we carried into our marriage, and some new things that we came up against in marriage that mm-hmm. we set boundaries for. We'll probably get into that into the next episode.
Yeah, and probably maybe unpack a little bit like emotional boundaries. Like, what are good emotional boundaries to have within dating too? Because it's not just physical that you struggle with. It's that emotional connection too. So, yeah, but this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. Yeah. And super fruitful. And we just honestly like those takeaways, right? Get an accountability couple. Make sure to set up a time/curfew. That you are with, really make sure to not go on like overnight stays, or if you do, make sure you're getting separate rooms, or you are staying in like a family's house and in complete separate rooms. And yeah, just set yourself up to really understand that honoring the Lord is first and foremost. And when you honor the Lord and you have the fear of the Lord, it compels you to honor that other person and to put your desires aside and put what God is saying in front of you. So we hope this blessed you, and we will see you next time.
Yeah. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Share this with a friend. Share this comment with maybe a dating couple that might need to hear something like that. And
ask us questions.
Yeah, ask us
questions. We don't have all the answers, but ask us questions.
Yeah, and go ahead and you can DM us on With the Bozos or We're the Bozos?
With the Bozos.
With the Bozos at Instagram.
At Instagram.
On Instagram.
He's not really on Insta, so he doesn't know the lingo.
No. But we didn't say that in our last couple podcasts, but way that this gets around is by you, and if we're doing a good job, then please just continue to share it with other people and encourage them to share it if it touched you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.